Final Rounds. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I am Andrew. I was waiting for the sound effects, Aaron. Come on.
Yeah, there's a horn.
There it is. There it is.
I do love that it took us until week three to come up with the ideology of March Madness. And let me clarify, week three, and this is what, our third or fourth time doing
year?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't us. It was, you know, largely Andrew that came
up. And by largely, he means solely.
Well, I just had a thought. It just clicked. $100, $1 million idea right there.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, you've got your you got your three-peat, you know.
Yeah.
You know, your those kind of terms, and you know, now you've got your ideology of March Madness. You're right. It's a $1 million idea.
You better trademark that like right now.
We are printing t-shirts right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I bought a t-shirt from ideologyofmadness.com.
Right. So yeah, so here we are in the final rounds. We got the Elite Eight, and then we'll go down to the Final Four, and then the championship itself. It's crazy time.
Andrew, is there a name for the final two? Is it literally like the terrible two? Like, what is it?
No, it's just the championship game.
See, I had it right, Paul.
Yeah, I know. There's no alliteration in that.
I know
That sounds lame.
But Aaron knows the sports ball, guys. Come on.
Aaron knows everything about the sports ball.
So, you know, we're going to start off over there in the Baxter Building, and where we've got Mr. Fantastic versus his lovely wife, the Invisible Woman, a.k.a. Sue Storm.
This is the family court matchup we've all been waiting.
That's right. That's right.
Domestic abuse, round one.
Who's going to get custody of the children? Valeria and
Franklin.
Thank you. I want to call him Benjamin for some reason. Like, that's not right.
Well, I mean, Benjamin Franklin, but not this character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on one hand, in one corner, if you will, you've got Mr. Fantastic with his genius little intellect, his invention skills, and his all-around plasticity facing off against Sue Storm and her ability to manipulate force fields in crazy and bizarre ways, plus kind of a thirst trap.
And I think it's also probably important to note that whoever wins this battle, no matter who wins this battle, Namor's getting lucky that night. Because this marriage is over.
I'm sure he's in the front row of the stands with a big number one.
He's free now because he got beaten, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Eradicator. He's recovered from his battle with the Eradicator in the first round. And is there cheering on Sue? Because either way, she's going to be single after tonight.
Yeah. The Eradicator turned him into fish jerky. So.
No.
Oh, no. No one dies in this battle.
Except for the dog.
Lockjaw died.
Poor Lockjaw.
Aw. He had a good life.
Yeah, he was a good boy.
He was a good boy. Yeah. So what are we thinking? What are our thoughts? Who do you like here, Paul?
Oh, of course, we're going to start with me. In my mind, in this scenario, I give it to, you know, Sue Storm is basically the most powerful member of the Fantastic Four. But Reed Richards is not arguably, the most intelligent. So I feel like, much like most of the scenarios in which Reed Richards is involved, you know, in a superpower being, he has a plan. He has a scenario. Much like that, man, he's probably got a contingency plan for every member of the family should they go bad. So I kind of feel like Reed Richards already has a contingency plan on how to depower or take control. Not take control. That's a bad example. That's a bad word. Take down Sue should a battle commence. And so I give it to Reed Richards on this one. I think he has found a way to remove her powers and take her down.
I'm going to counter that with the fact that he has spent years never being able to do that for Ben.
Never being able to, or never really trying. Dude, I literally built portals to other dimensions and made a council of himself. in the council of a million of himself, not a single one was like, hey man, like I cured Ben's thing. Like, here's the notes. You can do it yourself.
Everyone has their weak spot, and it's his weak spot is anything to do with their powers. because every time one of them has their powers go out of haywire, he's never the one to figure out how to fix it.
Blind spot. I call them blind spots.
Yes. He has definitely got a blind spot, and it's related to that. I don't think he can disable her power, and I don't think that, he's going to come in and he's going to overthink it. And his ability to plan and think things through are what's getting him past everyone else that he's gone up against. I don't think it works with Sue. Sue knows her husband. She knows what to expect out of him, which is not the attention that she deserves. That's for sure.
You know, typically speaking, I think that, you know, a typical husband would not, particularly a husband who loves Sue, loves his wife as much as Reed Richards loves Sue Storm.
I was waiting for you to get us canceled. I was like,
would not be able to take her out, right? That he'd pull his punch. He'd overthink it. He just wouldn't be able to close the deal, as it were.
But I agree with that too.
But we have seen Reed Richards be a tremendous asshole over
there. Yep. There it is.
And I, as much as he loves Sue Storm, he is a bigger asshole than he is a loving husband. And I think he takes her out. I think he takes her out by, you know, the thing about Sue, yes, she is the most powerful member of the Fantastic Four, but her powers require willpower. Her powers require concentration. And all he's got to do is rattle her. And he can do that with Sonics. He can do that with any number of the various devices he has available to him. So I think that he is able to break her concentration and then, you know, subdue her with all of his elasticity. So I give it to Mr. Fantastic in this.
So I was with you to start there, Aaron, because, you know, while Reed Richards is definitely smarter than Sue Storm, he also has massive blind spots, of which one is how awful he treats his wife. How many stories have we seen him repeatedly neglect his wife and children?
Yeah.
And then be surprised when they're upset, like, oh, yeah, I know I promised I wasn't going to do that, but whoops. Sorry, dear.
Sorry, I did actually build that bridge to the other universes. I know I said I wouldn't.
Reed Richards is the Homer Simpson to Sue Storm's Marge Simpson. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And as such, and also, I mean, you're right. I don't think Sue Storm maybe doesn't have the heart to kill her husband, the father of her children. But I think she absolutely has the heart, concentration, willpower to enclose him in a force bubble and just carry him around behind her. I mean, let's say perhaps, because Reed's clueless, she initiates relations, and then, you know, once Reed's out of his costume, put him in a force bubble. He's got no tricks, he's got no gizmos, he's got no tech, and she can just wander around with him. She doesn't have to kill him, she just has to mobilize him to win.
Yeah, I stand by Sue knows her husband, but Reed does not know his wife.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes the difference here. I think she has a vicious streak within her that will let her strike out and defeat him, where he will hesitate and underestimate her.
Are we 2-2 here?
We are.
I think we're 2-2.
I will. I'm going to go ahead and change my vote. I'll go.
Yes.
We have seen Sue go dark. I can buy that. I do think her ability to win this fight is that she's got to get in there early. Right. She's got to strike soon, strike fast, strike first, because I do think that if Reed is able to pull the trigger, she's done.
Yeah. If he has access to all his gizmos and technology, yeah, he's probably got a way to counteract a lot of what she can do. But she can get in and isolate him away from all that stuff, then I think, and again, she doesn't have to kill him. She might have a vicious streak sometimes, as Wayne alludes to, but even if she doesn't, she doesn't have to murder him.
No,
she could choose to murder him,
but I don't think she will.
And I see her just, you know, encasing him in a force bubble and then just continuing to shrink it and compress it and compress it until, you know, she's made a Mr. Fantastic diamond.
Well, Ed, let's think about this. As often as he ignores her and pisses her off, she spent a lot of time thinking about how she would beat him.
Absolutely.
So in the Baxter Building quadrant,
queen of the Baxter Building, if you will,
Sue Storm. Pretty good.
Yes. All right. So we have our first victor.
And speaking of victors, it's Doctor Doom versus Superman Jonathan Kent over there in the Metropolis. So, yeah, Metropolis Quadrant region, whatever. So, guys, what are we thinking?
This is a fight.
Yeah.
And Jonathan doesn't have the vicious streak needed to deal with Doom. Plus, Doom has magic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Doom on this one.
Doom. Victor Von Doom. All right. Paul?
See, we saw the Jonathan Kent versus Injustice Superman. Miniseries where Jonathan Kent didn't defeat him in battle, but he defeated him, metaphorically.
In heart.
In heart.
Doom in heart.
And I think that's where I was going with this. I think he would try a similar thing. And don't get me wrong, I feel like he could definitely turn public sentiment against Doom. I just read One World Under Doom issue 2 today, so that's fresh in my mind. I feel like he could turn public sentiment against Doom. But
who cares not for public sentiment?
But I think the fact that, Injustice Superman, literally has the tie to Jonathan of being his other Elseworlds father is what allowed Jonathan to do that in that scenario. And he does not have that connection to Doom. Mm-hmm. Or Doom does not have that connection to him. So I feel like Doom doesn't show him the mercy or love that Injustice Superman does. So yeah, I think Doom, while Jonathan tries to take the higher road in this, I think Doom outsmarts, outwits, and outmaneuvers him. So I give it to Doom.
I think that's a tough fight. I think again, with a lot of these, it depends on how it evolves. Let me put out this scenario. We know Jonathan Kent has super speed. I bring this up frequently with the superheroes, the super family. Dr. Doom does not have faster than human reflexes. He does have magic. So if he has preparation time, he has technology. He could certainly pose a counter and be prepared for Jonathan's strengths, including his speed. However, if it's more of a meeting engagement where neither side really has prepared for it, I tend to give the edge to Jonathan Kent. But for me, my analysis ends with this. Jonathan comes tearing in and attacks what he believes is Dr. Doom sitting on his throne in Latveria, only to find it's a Doom bot. And then, a mystical circle springs up around Jonathan Kent, and he's now been, trapped by Victor's cunning trap. So I think I'm going to favor Dr. Doom on this. I think it could go either way. But for me, I'm gonna give the nod to Dr. Doom here. Aaron?
It's always a Doombot.
That's true. It's always a Doombot.
Yeah, I don't see any way for Jonathan Kent to get out of this one. I don't see any way for him to win, against Dr. Doom. I think Dr. Doom has got all the cards here. And, I think you're right. I think it's a fight. I think it's a contest. But at the end, Dr. Doom wins.
Okay, so unanimous vote for Dr. Doom.
The King of Metropolis.
Very good. Okay, well, swinging over.
The craziest matchup in this round is right here.
Over in the New York City region, we've got Brainiac versus Bibbo.
poor Bibbo.
I'm sorry. I think Bibbo takes him out.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. I believe that Bibbo takes him out. One punch.
How?
I've been waiting all week to hear how, because I knew you would say that, Eric.
Because Brainiac turns out has a glass jaw when he's not prepared. Oh, God. And Bibbo just clocks him just right, puts it right on his chin, takes Brainiac out. He's down.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with my aged colleague and say
I think Brainiac underestimates him. He thinks that it's not a thing. So none of his defenses are up. He's not bolstered as he would be for a conflict with Superman. And he gets taken just straight out.
Well, I'm just going to – the guy who captures entire cities. Like, entire cities don't have a Bibbo, apparently, because he just miniaturizes and puts them away. Like I'm sure all those cities and Metropolis and millions of people he's trapped, they probably didn't have a Bibbo, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No. But, you
know,
no.
Brainiac
no.
just came out of his fight with the thing, so you know he's dropped those defenses because he's this guy's not a great big rock monster. You know, he's Bibbo. He's a guy.
No. He doesn't have. He's not going to even take Bibbo seriously enough to fight him. He's just going to shrink Metropolis and take it, and that's why he wins.
I mean, you have Brainiac's army of drones. He has his technopathy. He's got force fields.
But he didn't even think about it. He just thinks he's going to walk all over him. That's why Bibbo's able to take him.
I think Brainiac could vaporize Bibbo in a moment. Mind control him. Or shrink him and put him in a bottle.
Even if
Bibbo gets off the first punch, I don't think Brainiac has such a glass jaw that he would not be able to retaliate.
One punch chump. That's all he is. That's what Brainiac is. Yeah.
I think he wins. I think Brainiac wins 100 out of 100 times here.
You got no faith in Bibbo.
I don't. I mean, no. I'm still shocked he triumphed over Mr. Mixiflix. No, I'm not giving him the win versus Brainiac. Wayne?
Yeah, no. Brainiac either takes him out with a robot or just shrinks the city. He doesn't even sully his own hands on my main man Bibbo.
Paul?
I feel bad because I'm one of the main reasons Bibbo made it this far, but yeah, this far, no further. I think Bibbo does not take this round. I mean, Brainiac is so vastly outpowering him in this scenario that I 100% this goes to Brainiac. Sorry, Bibbo, you made it to the Elite Eight.
I mean, it's a good run. It's a good run.
I'm disappointed in you, Paul.
Someone else's name.
I'm stunned. I'm stunned he made it to Elite Eight. I bet if you'd asked the average person off the street if you thought Bibbo would have made it this far, they would have said no way. But he did it. He overcame adversity. He made it much farther than I think anyone expected him to.
Yeah, he's tough.
He is.
All right. Well, meanwhile, over in the Fortress of Solitude quadrant, we've got Agatha Harkness versus the Eradicator.
So, not being as familiar with the Eradicator as you gentlemen are, can he absorb magic?
No. But I posit that Agatha has gotten as far as she has because she's fought, you know, she fought Supergirl and she fought Steel, right? Both are heroes. Both are you know, folks who aren't going to be quite so cold-blooded, whereas the Eradicator... We've seen how heartless and you know, machine-like he can be and you know, how he gives no quarter. I think Agatha never has an opportunity to get off a spell. I think the Eradicator just incinerates her from the jump. I think it's Eradicator.
So I think Agatha, we've already established that she beats Steel by putting him to sleep first thing.
Mm-hmm.
She tries that with Eradicator, not realizing that he's not biological.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. She took her one shot, not realizing what he was, and he hand blasts her to all the hell. I'm going Eradicator as well.
Yeah, I'm going Eradicator on this mostly because I don't like Agatha Harkness.
And apparently you like Brainiac.
I mean, comparatively.
I'm just saying over Bibbo. I mean,
I don't like Brainiac over Bibbo.
You do.
I like Bibbo as a person.
Uh-huh.
But this is not about his personality. This is about his...
Except his... you've made it about personality here, Paul.
fair. But I mean... but come on, Agatha Harkness. I'm really done talking about her. So. So Eradicator moves on for me.
I think Wayne convinces me here. I like that scenario where she is confused about his nature, takes a misstep, thinking he's biological, and doesn't get a chance to recover. I agree with Wayne.
All right. So we've got Eradicator in a unanimous bout taking out Agatha. Eradicator emerges from the Fortress of Solitude. Meanwhile, the Baxter Building, we've got Sue Storm representing Dr. Doom over in Metropolis. And Brainiac in New York City. So, Sue Storm versus Dr. Doom. Who will win?
Can they just get married and, like, live out the rest of their life in happiness?
Dr. Doom didn't feel that way about Sue Storm.
Are we sure about that?
He kind of does. I mean, she
was his wife in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, A, I kind of worry about anyone who doesn't have soft feelings for Sue Storm. But yeah, I don't want to see him fight.
What do you want to see them do, Andrew?
I want to see them
like you're going to a different place here than we're going.
No,
he wants to see March Madness after dark.
No, that's what he exactly. No. I want to see them unite and rule the world as a benevolent dictatorship.
Well, that's not how the bracket works,
Andrew. Yeah, I know. Well, Paul, who do you think wins in this then?
In this battle, it's kind of funny because this is, for what it's worth, this is a similar battle to the one we were just talking about with Sue Storm and Mr. Fantastic. And in that battle, I chose Mr. Fantastic, but you guys chose Sue Storm. I give it to Dr. Doom in this one because we've seen Dr. Doom, like we just referred to Secret Wars, you know, with the right power, Dr. Doom has been able to defeat Sue Storm and make her his concubine. So I feel like in this scenario, Doom, much like my argument for Reed Richards, has a plan for Sue Storm. Plus the fact that he's also Sue Storm's daughters. You know, he's Valeria's godfather. So he has the whole family. He's got the family on his side in this scenario. And Reed's already out of the picture because Sue, you know, did whatever she did to him. So, you know, I feel like one-on-one, I give this to Doom.
So I will do a counterpoint so we keep this even and we keep it interesting here. I remember not too long ago, the Fantastic Four went up against Doom and Doom had taken them all out. And Sue had just had enough of his shit that she quit holding back. And she did the one thing that was crossed the line to take him out. She made his mask go invisible and let the world see his scarred face. She knows how to get into his head in ways that no one else does. And in this case, everything's on the line. She knows how to get in his head. She is a powerhouse. And I think she is the one person that can take him on one-on-one and actually pull out the victory. It could go either way in the fight. And on any given day, either one of them could beat the other. On this day, I'm going with Sue.
Yeah, this is tough. I think if they fought 10 times, they'd each win 5. And both Paul and Wayne make excellent points. I had Sue beating Mr. Fantastic because she knows him well, whereas he knows her not at all. He does not have quite the ruthless streak that Victor does. So on one hand, I feel like Victor has a better chance of beating Sue than Reed did. But Wayne makes an excellent point that, just by removing his mask, you can have him have a nervous breakdown. I think it's a coin flip. I'm going to go with Sue Storm here.
Wow.
Over to you, Aaron.
I'm torn. I'm torn. I'm on the bubble here. I see Dr. Doom taking this one.
It's fair. For me, it's a toss up. So I'm not going to begrudge you picking Doom.
You know,
like you said, on any given day, I think either could beat the other. So
I think that, you know, the funny thing about the Invisible Woman is that in this matchup, he sees her coming, right? You know, he's prepared for her. He understands her abilities. And, you know, it's that trump card that he's got with the magic. But he can also do a lot of the things that Reed Richards can do. And you know, I put out there that, you know, all he's got to do is break her concentration. I think it's Dr. Doom. I think it's Dr. Doom. So that means we're tied. Paul. Well,
I think I'm going to have to break the tie. Because, you know, Wayne's reference to Sue Storm making Dr. Doom's mask invisible is a good counterpoint. I feel like, you know, it kind of makes the point that we've been making, which is that 50-50, you know, 50% of the time it's Sue Storm, 50% of the time it's Dr. Doom. Because it can go either way and because Wayne had such a good counterpoint, I'm going to go ahead and change my vote for Sue Storm. So she moves on to the final battle.
Wow. Okay, nice. Well, who is going to fight Sue? Is it Brainiac or the Eradicator? Who's it going to be, guys?
I'll go first in this one. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'll go first. Yeah. So for me, it's still Brainiac. You know, the Eradicator's powerful. He has lots of tools in the toolbox, but you know, Brainiac has legions of minions. He's got all sorts of powers. He's got higher levels of technology. I tend to think that, you know, if they fought 10 times, Brainiac wins 7 out of the 10.
I think that's generous. I think Eradicator's got brawn, and, you know, he's certainly powerful, but he doesn't have anything near the intelligence of Brainiac. And, you know, Brainiac has, you know, centuries of fighting. You know, I think Brainiac takes this fairly easily. I don't think Eradicator is much of an opponent for Brainiac.
So Bibbo,
Eradicator is powerful and vicious and a piece of technology. Brainiac is strong against any
Eradicator piece of winds technology. Eradicator winds up working for Brainiac.
I agree.
Yeah.
So Bibbo can take out Brainiac in Aaron's world, but the Eradicator, no chance.
Because Bibbo is underestimated by Brainiac, whereas in this circumstance.
Paul, are you going to make a clean sweep?
Would you have had Bibbo take out Eradicator?
Sorry. No. I didn't hear you, Wayne.
I want to know if Aaron would have had Bibbo take out Eradicator as well.
No, I think Eradicator, because he's so, you know, he doesn't care, and he prepares for all opponents similarly. He's just going to fight them and take them out. Whereas, you know, I legitimately think Brainiac underestimates Bibbo.
Okay, Paul.
I'll give it to the Eradicator. Oh no, sorry. I was about to I give it to Brainiac on this one. I think, don't get me wrong, while Eradicator certainly has a lot of power, you know, it's similar to Superman, right? I mean, that's the point. I don't think he has quite the ability to take out Brainiac, or, you know, the numbers on his side that Brainiac does. So I gave it to Brainiac in this battle, which, you know, makes me regret my prior choice, because I feel like Dr. Doom versus Brainiac would have been a hell of a last battle. This next one, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this next battle goes. But in this battle specifically, Brainiac takes down the Eradicator.
So in the championship, it's Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman, versus Brainiac.
Who saw that happening?
That's the miracle of ideology of March Madness.
I would not have seen this as a finale at all.
I felt Brainiac had a really good chance coming out of the right side of the bracket. Sue Storm, I am surprised that she made it this far. I did not see her getting to the championship.
Dr. Doom, you know, I'm probably going to regret the Dr. Doom choices. We're already past it. And even then, if we had had 50-50, we would have gone to a coin toss. So it could have gone either way. But Sue Storm versus Brainiac, I need a minute. So someone else start.
I think beyond how powerful Sue Storm is, I think she also has heart and she just never gives up. I think that she is a hero on par with Superman in those terms. I think she takes it to Brainiac, and I think it's close. I think it is a knockdown, tear down, all no holds barred sort of fight. But I think Sue Storm takes the day.
I mean, again, I think at this high level of competition, it's really hard to say one is always going to beat the other, or one is going to mostly beat the other. You know, Sue Storm hypothetically could create a force bubble inside Brainiac and tear him apart. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, if Brainiac attacked from afar with his hordes of minions, he could, you know, possibly wear her down and trit her to where she's unable to focus and concentrate, and then swoop in for the victory. It's another coin toss for me. It could go either way. I'm going to say I like the argument that Sue Storm has more heart. And honestly, it might be a little bit of a homer choice, but I would rather see Sue Storm win than Brainiac. Personal preference. Mm-hmm. So considering I think it's a 50-50 fight, I'm going to go Sue Storm.
Wayne?
I love Sue. I do. I think she's incredibly powerful. But I think part of the thing that goes into this fight is Brainiac sends his waves of minions while he's sitting in space for the big part of it. I think eventually it does come down to Sue, you know, facing off against him and destroys a body that wasn't really him as he transfers into another body. I'm giving this one to Brainiac, but it's not a strong win either way. I think like he is surprised that he expects no one other than Superman stands up to him, and she takes him to the limit. But in the end, he's got a force field.
Brainiac's force field just went off.
Captain, yeah. We're being hailed. The Romulans are hailing us, Captain.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
In the end, he's got a force field too, and his force field isn't as powerful as in it can't be turned into weapons like hers can, but I think he takes the edge, even if he has to shrink down New York to do it.
Okay. So cool. We have two for Brainiac and one for Sue Storm currently, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So I asked Grok.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. You're bringing in a ringer here? What's this crutch you're using?
Well, to be fair, I actually agree with what Grok said. I was just curious. So Grok has actually a pretty lengthy description of both of their powers, strengths, and weaknesses, but I'm just going to go to the final verdict. All right. It says, Grok says, Sue wins if she acts fast, uses invisibility to get close, and delivers a decisive internal attack before Brainiac attacks. Her shields can hold long enough to outmaneuver him, and her experience against cosmic foes gives her the edge in the clutch moment. 6 out of 10 in her favor in a straight fight. But Brainiac wins if he leverages his ship's full arsenal, keeps Sue on the defensive, and wears her down with relentless, calculated attacks. His intellect and tech could counter her powers if he survives the first strike. 4 out of 10 for him, assuming no ship. 7 out of 10 with it. But final call, Sue's raw power and versatility give her the slight edge in a no-prep brawl. So I kind of lean towards Sue Storm in this scenario as well. I think she has literally done battle with celestial beings and defeated them, and dictators and beings just as powerful and smart as Brainiac, and come out on top. And even though I voted against her twice now, to Andrew's point, I don't want to see Brainiac win. So I give it to Sue Storm in this final battle. And Grok apparently agrees with me 60% of the time.
It's interesting that the AI sided against Brainiac.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Brainiac and it's trying to fool us.
So that's 3 votes for Sue, 2 for Brainiac. That's, I think Sue correct. Wins.
Wow.
We're counting Grok as a third.
But no, it's really a tie. It's a tie. It's 2 versus 2.
Oh, that's right. It is a tie, isn't it?
If we don't count Grok as a vote, it's 2v2.
So do we do a coin flip on our final battle?
We have to, unless somebody wants to change their vote.
No, I think, you know, in this close of a fight, I think going to the coin flip is a fair and honorable way to do it.
Okay, so Andrew and Wayne were Brainiac, me and Aaron were Sue?
No, Paul, you and I were Sue, and Aaron and Wayne were Brainiac.
I was Sue.
Oh. Yeah, Aaron was Sue. I think I was the only Brainiac.
Then we do. No, Sue wins 3-1. Sue wins. It's a miracle.
Sue wins.
Sue. That sounds like a lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I got confused there, too. We, there's only 4 people on this podcast, and we couldn't even keep 4 votes straight.
I thought Aaron had gone Brainiac. I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, well, clearly we wouldn't win.
You don't listen.
Bibbo would have beaten us in this battle.
That's right.
All right.
I never would have thought Sue Storm at the end of all of this.
No. At the beginning, I would not. I would have thought she would have certainly gone a ways. She wasn't out first round, but I am shocked she's the champion.
I never thought Superman would be out round one.
Right? Round one, because he's a chump.
He's a bitch.
Well, hold on. let's not step over any lines here that we can't come back from. He was going against a tough opponent, the Silver Surfer, who can create kryptonite from other matter. I mean, that's a tough matchup for Superman in round one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what he
said. Bitch is what I'm saying. Yeah. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, Sue fought her way through Superwoman, Kellex, Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Doom, to then crush Brainiac.
I think calling that a matchup against Kellex a fight's being a little generous.
Oh, no. No, it was bloody.
It was an ass whooping. It was a side thought. It was she told Kellis to go outside and break off a switch and bring it in so she could use it on him. That's how that match went.
She told Kellis to pick his switch.
Yes. And then she beat him with it.
Just like grandma used to do. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And God help if you didn't bring in a big enough one.
Oh man. Yeah, you didn't want her to go out and pick one.
No, you do not. It was like, what's big enough, but not so big? Like, it's like,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Grandma used to line the cousins up like the Von Trapp family singers and just go down the line.
A Von Trapp family singer, huh? What is happening in this podcast right now?
Well, it's, we're high on Sue's victory. So,
we are. We're happy for the Fantastic Family because now that they're a broken family, this is Sue. She has defeated all of them,
yeah.
And she's there with Namor, living after.
Yeah, I mean that
Namor is fish jerky. Just saying.
No. So like it's in the post match interview, and you know they ask that classic question. You know, Sue Storm, you've now won the championship. What are you going to do next? And she looks at the camera. She's like, I'm going to Atlantis.
Well, you know, it was a fantastic march here at Ideology of March Madness. But Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, as of the time of this recording, by the time we record next, we will have a slew of new releases.
A slew.
Yeah. You know, last time we recorded, just to remind some folks of the comics that are coming out in the last week of March, we have Godzilla versus the Fantastic Four, issue one. Like I said, it's only a one-shot. It's a series of 6 one-shots of Godzilla versus the Marvel Universe. You also have the latest issues of Absolute Wonder Woman and Superman. You have the start of Hush 2 in Batman issue 158 by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee. And you get the Absolute Martian Manhunter from Dennis Camp and Javier Rodriguez. That's the last week of March. But as you get into the first week of April, you get Absolute Green Lantern issue 1.
Well, I hope it's better than Absolute Flash.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll do an absolute catch up here sometime soon. Absolute Green Lantern comes out as well as the 6th issue of Absolute Superman. We also get from IDW Star Trek Lore War issue 1, which is the big crossover event between the Star Trek and Defiant books. We haven't talked about those in a while because I stopped reading them because they're not good. But there's a big crossover.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say we haven't recorded the Star Trek show in a while because, you know, Star Trek. But yeah, go ahead.
It's in a dark place right now.
That's right.
So Lore War isn't related to, like, Data's brother Lore?
No, it is. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. Yeah. That's
and I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks really good.
But the big release coming out on April 2nd is Daredevil, Cold Day in Hell, which is a 3-part series written by Charles Soule, art by Steve McNiven, which is apparently kind of their Dark Knight Returns take on Daredevil. Lots of interest in that one. Looking forward to checking that out.
I have really enjoyed the current Daredevil books. They've been really good, but I would be interested in seeing that one too. I like Charles Soule.
Yeah, me too. And I like Steve McNiven. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good deal. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought of Ideology of March Madness and how badly you thought Absolute Flash sucked. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
What a deal. Well, hey, guys, let's do it all over again next March.
Woo! Yep.
Woo. We have a year to plan for it.
Woo! Sue Storm! Woo!
Team Sue. Hashtag Team Sue Storm.
That's right.
Team Sue Storm.
That's right. I like it.
All right. Bye.
Good stuff,
guys.
Catch
you next week.
See ya.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.